This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bel-Air in the Netherlands Antilles, directed from New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Well, hello everyone. It's very nice to have you with us again for another edition of the program. Well, as you can tell right now, I am not in Taiwan and I'm not in a studio. In fact, right now I am standing in the center part of Singapore. It's just around 11:30 on a Wednesday evening. Why am I here? Well, today's show is coming to you exclusively from Singapore. Coming up, we're going to be visiting the BBC Far East Relay Station, a station that is used to reach Southeast Asia, including the Pacific. And then later on, Paulette will be joining me to talk about what the FM radio scene is like in Singapore. Now, you heard me say FM, and why not AM? Well, for very good reason, because AM, or medium wave, doesn't exist here anymore. We have this and much more, including the next two winners of the PCJ Summer Contest, so stay tuned. But first, we cut to Paulette with a look at some of the latest news happening in the world of media.
A standard, even boring, piece of Chinese military propaganda screened in mid-July included what must have been an unintended but nevertheless damaging revelation. Shots from a computer screen showing a Chinese military university is engaged in cyber warfare against entities in the United States. The documentary itself was otherwise meant as praise to the wisdom and judgment of Chinese military strategists and a typical condemnation of the United States as an implacable aggressor in the cyber realm. But the fleeting shots of an apparent China-based cyber attack somehow made their way into the final cut. Employees of the Malawi Broadcasting Corporation, MBC, have threatened to go on strike to force management to improve their working conditions and disparities in salaries between those working for the television section and those working for the radio section. MBC, established under a parliamentary act, was previously operating as Radio 1 and Radio 2 before merging with Malawi Television in July last year and adopted the name MBC for both services. Currently, MBC, a state-controlled television and radio broadcaster, has a workforce of over 700 employees after the merger. Government is working towards trimming the workforce further to 413, a move that has brought uncertainty to the workers. Bush Radio, a community station based in the Western Cape for the last 20 years, is facing closure unless it can find urgently needed funds to support its business. It is not only a radio station, but provides broadcast training to individuals, radio stations, and media institutions in Africa, with a special focus on Southern Africa. From campaigning against the apartheid government for a free and independent broadcasting authority, to being present on Cape Town's Grand Parade when Nelson Mandela addressed the nation as a free man, it has played an indelible part in the shaping of the history of the new South Africa. Over the past 3 years, this pioneering radio station and training center has been hit hard by the current economic climate, recently resulting in it having to reevaluate its operations in order to remain sustainable and influential in this fast-changing and exciting environment. It is trying to raise 300,000 rand or $43,000 to pay rent, transmission, and other running costs and needs concrete proposals by August 31, 2011. The Australian Press Council is developing plans to regulate news and current affairs commentary across all platforms, including radio, television, and blogs. At present, the Council's role is limited to print publications. Broadcast regulation is provided by the Australian Communications and Media Authority, while the Internet is unregulated. The Press Council's plan to increase its role to set standards and handle complaints about news and opinion material, irrespective of the platform on which it is published, is expected to form part of its submission to the federal government's Convergence Review inquiry. Russia said it had lost track of a newly launched multi-million-dollar telecommunications satellite on Thursday, the latest in a series of setbacks that have dogged its space industry. The $265 million Express AM-4 satellite, described by its makers as the most powerful satellite ever built in Europe, launched late on Wednesday aboard a Proton-M rocket from the Russian-leased launch pad in Kazakhstan. The Russian Space Agency said the first stages of the launch went smoothly, but communication with the satellite was lost due to a failure of the BRIS-M upper stage. It said experts were working to re-establish contact with the craft built by Astrium, a unit of European Aerospace Group EADS, to provide digital TV, internet, and telecom services for Russia over the next 15 years. The spacecraft was fully insured for 7.5 billion rubles or $264.5 million with Russian Ingolstadt Insurance Company. Judging by early efforts, officials have a roughly 75% chance of linking back to the satellite and maneuvering it into the correct orbit, space industry expert Igor Lisov told Reuters. Its loss would be a nightmare for Russia's industry, he said, delaying key commercial projects by 3 to 4 years and embarrassing Moscow at a time when it hopes to showcase its technology at this week's MOX air show outside the capital. Special thanks goes to Andy Sennett at the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands Worldwide for the stories used. Check them out by going to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the link.
And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Media Network Plus coming to you from Singapore this week on a Singapore safari. Now, some of you may or may not know, but there's also a 30-minute weekly edition of this program, which is produced exclusively for the World Radio Network. And we cover a number of different topics than we cover in the monthly edition of the program. You can find all the details at our website, which I will give later on in the program. Now, as I mentioned to you, yes, we are in Singapore. At this very moment, I'm at a place called Sentosa, otherwise known as Sentosa Island in Singapore. And, we did Happy Station from here. And we're also doing a Media Network Plus special to look at two fascinating things that exist here on the city-state. The first is the BBC Far East Relay Station in the northwest of Singapore. And then we're going to be looking at the FM radio scene. And as I mentioned a moment ago, FM? Why only FM? Why not AM? Well, for very good reason, because there is no more AM radio in Singapore. But to begin, we're now going to take a 35-minute taxi ride up to Kranji, like I said, in the northwest corner of Singapore, to visit, which is probably one of the most famous international shortwave relay stations. It is known here in Singapore as the BBC Far East Relay Station and was built in the 1960s. And I had a chance to meet Cindy Yao, who's now the manager of the station, and Tam Len Sun, the senior engineer.
Control room. Uh-huh. There used to be have a control desk here that we get the radio feed for the program. And then they did update to a satellite feed. So this is where the control bay is, it changes here. But on the transmitter side, there's not much changes.
But here from the from this side, the control room side, back in the early days of the station, how were the programs coming in?
Back in the early day, when I came in, they get a direct satellite feed. Then we got a radio feed as a backup. And now we are using satellite feed. They use digital SMDS. And the backup use an ISDN line, you know. And the control bay equipment, monitor equipment, all have been removed. Mm-hmm. So we replaced with a small table there.
So, like, with this stuff now, how much easier is it compared to the old days?
It's much, much easier. Rather, you do a last-minute patching here and there, especially on the dock. You do announcement, all these things, no? Mm-hmm. So nowadays, you just leave it to the central in UK to switch in the announcement and everything.
So then over here, you have the computers that control. Now, these control the audio to each of the transmitters, or how does it work?
This three computer PC is basically for the PLC, control, download our program feed, schedule to the PLC. And the PLC will do automatic control switching on the transmitter on, off, switch the program in on the source, you know. And this is where we do the remote controlling of the transmitter, selection of radio, the audio feed to the transmitter.
And what about for frequency change? Is that also done in here?
Yes, it's all this done by the PLC. So the engineer has to go to the transmitter, put to the local remote, and then the frequency will do it automatically.
Have there been any slip-ups where you go, oh, wrong frequency? Or
once over blue moon, yeah, there's some command failure, no? So the engine, then the frequency alarm will come on to tell us the wrong frequency there. So we have to go there manually, do the selection. Okay. It's not very frequent occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's actually just go to the transmitter room. It's safe to go in. We're not going to get electrocuted or anything.
No. It's quite safe. Can feel quite warm, temperature,
plus. Wow, I mean it's such a big difference. So let me ask you, the transmitters that are in this room, what is the minimum and maximum power?
We basically got two models here, the BD6122 transmitting at 100 kilowatt average power, therefore the RF carrier. B1623 is carrying the 250 kilowatts. Or then another model is BD272, the Marconi. It is 250 kilowatt transmission. So basically, there are two models here. One is your 100 kilowatt transmitter. The other one is 250 kilowatt transmitter.
How old are these transmitters? How long have they been in use in the station?
Since
1965.
The transmitters were built in 1965.
So after all this time, if something goes wrong, what do you do for parts? I take it that this company is no longer around.
As I told you earlier, that some of the parts we fabricate ourselves. You know, we have a workshop over right at the end of the hall, and the technicians are able to copy and fabricate themselves. If not, we'll get an outside contractor to help us. Yeah.
So would that be, for example, like the radio tubes or?
The valve you still can get from UK. You know, there's certain capacitor, variable capacitor, we still get from UK, and they supply it to us. There's more contacts, we usually make our own. You know, basically, we still can do it ourselves.
Now, you know, looking at this hall, just to describe it, it's a big hall. You have all these transmitters lined up. How often do you perform maintenance here?
We got daily maintenance carry out, you know, to check the transmitter, make sure the simple the contact is working. Then we got some maintenance schedule to follow.
There are three shifts a day. The day shift, evening shift, night shift. And it's the day shift that do the maintenance work. Any fault reporting from the evening or night shift, the day shift will carry out the fault finding and problem solving.
You've both have been here for a long time. When you think about the millions of people that listen to the programs from this station, you must be very satisfied that they're picking up a really good signal with, you know, very clear audio.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. No? You never expect radio from here can reach other parts of the world, especially to India, China.
I think it's a teamwork. Our engineers work well, you know, to keep this place, the site performing, our performance is good, you know. All the time, stay that at good level.
So, with this site, what is the main target area? Where do you mainly target?
I think the Asia, India, Southeast Asia, Indonesia. Yeah, these are quite many programs that go there. Yeah.
So, how many staff do you have working in this station?
At the moment, 21.
21.
Yeah.
And at one particular time, how many people would be here?
For the shift work, we have 2 engineers per shift. Yeah. For the day shift, we have more people. Yeah. So we have 2 technicians, 2 admin staff, and the rest are all engineers.
And that's not just for the transmitters, but also for the antennas outside.
Yes, about 4 riggers.
Yes, I've forgotten riggers.
To help maintain the riggers. Right. Sorry, we maintain the antenna in the field.
I see that you actually have one of them that is open up right now. Is this just going through regular maintenance?
Yeah, we open up to check the contact, make sure everything is in the proper order, ready for the image transmission.
How are these cooled?
Basically, this water cool and vapor pool. You know, water are feeding from the glass tube, as you can see, and it's boil out, and the steam go up on the glass tube there, and it cool by heat exchangers there. And in gravity, and when it condenses the water, you go into a conservator tank there, and it's gravity feed by the valve.
There must be times of day when every single transmitter is on. Or is there, do they have, do they say only use like some at this time, some at this time? There must be times when you have every single one on.
Usually during evening time, at the peak hour, then all the transmitter will be on. Usually after 5 GMT.
You
will look at the schedule chart. Can I show you a schedule chart?
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll see the schedule chart. And we also see some workstations with some spare parts.
For the night shift, I think the transmission ends at 1:30.
2 a.m.
2 a.m.
2:30 a.m.
2:30 to 5:30, right? 2:30. During this period, the transmission is off.
This is how it ended.
May the 1st this year, specially modified stealth helicopters set off for Pakistan in the dead of night.
But how did it all begin?
This was a character unlike any we've
seen. You know, people think that international broadcasting, all you're doing is recording programs, setting the programs out, and that's it. But there's a lot more work to it than that. I mean, this of course, is probably the heart or the brain of any broadcast institution. The amount of man hours to go in to use, say, 2-3 frequencies just to reach an audience on the other side of the world, it is quite incredible. I mean, you must have a personal passion for this kind of work, do you?
Of course. I won't be working 24 with more years here.
So when you wake up every day, do you wake up and say, do you ever say to yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this?
Yeah.
Really? So when you're looking to make parts, how do you find somebody that can do it? I mean, because you said that some of the parts you designed yourself, but you must have to meet special, say, technical requirements and safety requirements.
Of course, we try it out first, you know, test it out, see whether we can stand it. Can you walk this way? No. And you work, then you fabricate all the parts. Careful.
So with all the RF that's generated here and in the transmitter hall, are you limited, let's say, to the amount of hours that you can spend in one particular area?
No, because I think it's quite in the safe level. No? So I don't think that's an issue. Especially we're walking around the area field, I don't think you get RF burn unless it's staying directly underneath that area that rating 250 kilowatt for
right.
A few hours. No? And that won't be happen.
Ah, okay.
Most of the time we are moving about.
So, have you ever come out here? And I mean, yourself, do you have a shortwave receiver?
At home, I have. It used to monitor. No?
Yeah.
So not in the office here, because if your transmitter on, it will jam out the shortwave.
Right.
So it's no point. This is an aerial feed.
So what about these feeds as well? How often do you change these feeder lines?
No, you don't change it unless it's burned.
It's Mrs. Burn.
Careful. No. So far, it's quite lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, you get horizontal feeder burn, all these things, so we replace it.
And you know, considering that Singapore is in the tropics, what about lightning strikes?
Very lucky we don't get strike.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, it happened once. In the Tower K, you know, but that's the only thing I think I can recall is right there, and our transmitter hall, the roof.
Right.
You know, So, but for safety reason, as I say, it's overcast. Then we don't do any work in the field. They say heavy rain coming or lightning coming. Mm-hmm. And the golf club for having a service, you know, when riding along approach, when any lightning approach, they sound alarm. So he can be know.
Okay.
Time to go on the shelter.
But you know, something that is quite, you know, you're lucky. I mean, there's other countries, they have certain things to contend with this kind of station, either it being typhoons or cyclones. Singapore is very lucky like that because you don't have, let's say, the same kind of typhoons that would, let's say, affect Indonesia, the Philippines, or Taiwan. You don't have cyclones like you would, let's say, in parts of New Zealand, where Radio New Zealand has been taken off the air because of cyclones. So here you're pretty safe then.
Yeah, I agree with you. You don't face typhoon, earthquake, all these natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not an issue here. No? And you don't face flood here, so it's quite safe.
Right.
What a safer place to be.
The rest of the world could be coming down. Just come to the Far East Relay Station and you'll be safe.
Yeah, come to Singapore and stay.
Deutsche Welle News.
This is Mark Hallam in Bonn. U.S. President Barack Obama has announced that politicians in Washington have agreed on a deal to raise the country's debt limit and avoid default. The deal will cut about $1 trillion from government spending over the next 10 years and establishes a...
And I was speaking there with Tam Lam Sun, who's the senior engineer. And we also heard in that piece Cindy Yao, who is the manager of the station, who started off as a secretary many, many years ago. Both of them certainly do have a passion for this kind of work. Anyway, in a few moments, actually, I'll be heading back to the downtown area of Singapore, probably near Orchard Road, to do a little bit of shopping. I wonder if I can get a taxi. That's the only problem here. This area, by the way, is really cut off. Now, when I showed up today, I saw something that was rather unusual. There was no signage outside, but we're going to walk in front of it again. It's completely closed off. It also is a relay station. Well, an abandoned relay station. It was the relay station once used by Radio Singapore International. And I was asking Tan about it, and he told me an interesting story. He said the station was built in the early 1990s with brand new ABS transmitters. When Radio Singapore International closed, they didn't sell off the equipment. No. They didn't do that at all. What did they do? They dumped it. That's right, they dumped it. They threw these beautiful, brand new transmitters, only a few years old, into the scrap heap, as well as the antenna masts and everything else. And all you can see now is the building that was built to house the transmitter hall and the offices and the main gate. Everything else has been abandoned. And he told me, he said, if the BBC was approached to take over the site and use it, he said they would have jumped at it because it was so modern, but they just dumped everything. I don't know why they would do that. Anyway, you are listening, of course, to Media Network Plus. If you'd like to see pictures of my visit to the BBC Far East Relay Station, just go to www.pcjmedia.com and you will find a link. You can also find the pictures at the Facebook page for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio. Just do a search on Facebook and you'll find them, and that's all you need to do. So, as I now walk for another 1.5 kilometers to the main road to try to get a taxi, I think I might have to hitchhike. We're now going to cut back to Paulette all the way in Vancouver.
Aku cari kanan kiri laki gagah yang menari pesano pasung kok gampang. Hati senang jika sudah bisa tari bossa nova. Semua harus belajar bossa nova. Menari tak bisalah sendiri. Coba dulu, jangan malu. Mari kita menarikan bossa.
This is Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie inviting you to join me every week for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network. Details at www.pcjmedia.com and www.ukrainianrootsradio.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, switzerlandinsound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs. Switzerlandinsound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
A place to relax. Symphony 92.4. Good music, good life.
The best mix of music.
We're also on Facebook.
Class 95.
938 Live.
Local radio in Singapore. Well, it is probably, if not the most competitive in all of Southeast Asia, even more competitive than Taiwan, that has many radio stations on the FM and AM dial. In Singapore, it's extremely, extremely competitive. Now, there are a total of 13 radio stations. You're talking about a population here of just over 5 million people. But those 13 radio stations, some of them are like having a radio station inside a radio station, if you follow my meaning.
I don't. What do you mean?
Well, for example, there's one radio station on the air in Singapore. It's called XFM. And they broadcast in a total of 8 different languages: Arabic, French, German, Hindi, Japanese, and Korean. And depending at what time of day you're listening to, it sounds like a different radio station. So that's what I mean. It's like having 8 radio stations in one radio station.
Wow, that's interesting. So are we talking commercial, public, state radio?
Well, radio in Singapore goes back, what I found out when I was there, 75 years. And just by accident, one morning, just after I woke up and I was having my coffee, I was tuning up and down the FM dial and came across this promo to celebrate the 75th anniversary of radio in Singapore. And it gives a little bit of the history.
Radio turns 75.
Did you know that radio transmission in Singapore began 75 years ago in 1936? Its first base of operations was from a government building at Empress Place. It was only after World War II in 1951 that we moved to Caldecott Hill at Andrew Road, a place we've called home ever since. Currently, plans are underway to move from our present location to Mediapolis, Singapore's first digital media hub, located at One North. Radio's new home is expected to be completed by mid-2015.
Thank you for 75 years of friendship.
Well, just as we heard a few seconds ago, there's 75 years of broadcasting in Singapore. The main broadcasting agency or group is called Mediacorp Singapore. Now, over the last 75 years, they have gone through I don't know how many name changes. First, it was known as Radio Singapura. Then it was known as the Radio Corporation of Singapore. Then it became the Singapore Broadcasting Corporation. Then it became Mediacorp. And within that time, there were also some other name changes as well. But the main station now, the main organization, would be Mediacorp. The best way to describe Mediacorp would be like, let's say, like the CBC or the BBC. So under the Mediacorp umbrella, you have a number of different local radio stations and a number of different television stations. Now, the difference with Mediacorp, it's a little bit hard to describe because it's not exactly a public broadcaster, meaning getting funds from tax dollars from the public, but it's also not exactly a state broadcaster, meaning the voice of the government who's ever in power. It's sort of a mixture of two. At the same time, it's also operated like a private company. So an example would be, let's say, the CBC in Canada or the BBC in the United Kingdom said, okay, we're the BBC or the CBC, but we also have to charge commercial advertising because we need to make a profit.
So this is sort of the structure of the organization. And it's huge. You're thinking here, I mean, Singapore has just over 5 million people, but yet MediaCorp has within its under its umbrella 11 different subsidiaries, not just television, not just radio, film production companies, advertising companies. It's huge when you think about how small the population is.
That is a very unique setup. For somebody from living in North America, at any rate, but it sounds like it works.
It does work, and it actually works quite well. The main MediaCorp building in Singapore, because everything comes out of the same building, the best way to describe it would be having, say, rows and rows and rows of studios, and each different radio station or each different service operating out of one of them. It is very unique. And I mean, don't forget, you know, Singapore is a small place. It's not that small, but it's smaller, let's say, than Belgium or the Netherlands. It is a city-state, so it would be, let's say, like Vatican City. And you think you have all this media going on in a small little area is quite astonishing, but MediaCorp does a very good job at managing it. And like I said, it's a mixture of public, state, and commercial broadcasting, but of course the commercial aspect is extremely important because these stations need to make money. They have to make money.
So what are some of the formats? You mentioned actually just a while ago about eight languages.
The formats, well, the formats have something for everyone. So, for example, one moment you're listening to classical music. Next minute, you're listening to jazz. And I'm talking about individual stations here. Next minute, you want to listen to, let's say, contemporary British and American top 40 music. The next minute, you can listen to music from India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. You can listen to music from France. It is all over the place. And, of course, one of the most important things that you find on every single station is a traffic report. And listening to a traffic report in Singapore is very different from, let's say, a traffic report anywhere else in the world. And I came across one, and it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Plus 95's Traffic Watch.
We got slow-moving traffic on West Coast Highway towards Pasir Panjang because of the earlier accident of the vehicles occupying the right and the second right lanes near the wholesale centre. Roadworks on Bras Basah Road by the Prinsep Street Junction. A broken down vehicle on the KGE towards the PIE before the PIE Changi exit. Roadworks on Telok Blangah Road towards Keppel Road at a slip road into Kampung Bahru Road. Also on the BKE towards the PIE before the Bukit Panjang Road exit. On Telok Blangah Road towards Pasir Panjang Road after the Henderson Road Junction. On Jurong Town Hall Road towards West Coast Road after the junction of Jurong East Avenue 1 and on the TPE towards the SLE after the Jalan Kayu flyover.
Bank on us.
For the best feel-good music.
Class 95.
Well, that does sound unusual. They're speaking in acronyms.
That's right, and acronyms are very popular in Singapore. You can have entire conversations with people just using acronyms. And as we heard in the traffic report, it's like I was taking the DVP and then I went off to the CDB and then I turned left at the VWP and then the PWX was at the XMAP and then I arrived at the airport. And somebody who's not from there will go, what was that?
Now, you mentioned something about several languages that they broadcast in as well.
That's right. The four main languages in Singapore are Chinese and English being the first two. So there are stations that are dedicated to programming in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, as well as some Cantonese at certain hours. The next language of importance in Singapore is English because most of the business in Singapore is done in English. And then, of course, you have languages from other parts of Southeast Asia. The next language, of course, that's very important in Singapore is Malay because a lot of people have Malay heritage. So Malay is one of the languages, and then you have Tamil. These are the four main ones. But then on certain stations at certain times, they change format. And all of a sudden you have Hindi, which is extremely popular. There's a very large Hindi-speaking community in Singapore. Arabic. And then you also have Vietnamese and you have Tagalog, which is actually spoken in the Philippines. So it's really a hodgepodge. And what is quite interesting and is actually a lot of fun, Some of the stations that you listen to, let's say they say, okay, now we're saying goodbye for our listeners who speak, let's say, Hindi. We're now going to go into Vietnamese. And all of a sudden, you think that you're listening to a radio station from Vietnam, because they don't just change language, but they also change style. So if you're, let's say, from Vietnam or from the Philippines, it's almost like listening to a radio station from your home country.
You mentioned that it's FM radio, but what about AM?
AM radio has gone the way of the dodo bird.
Hmm.
There is no more AM in Singapore left. The reason for that is, like I said, Singapore is very small. So if you have, let's say, a 3,000-watt FM transmitter or a 1,000-watt FM transmitter, you can reach most of the population. They did have AM, or medium wave, until maybe 20, 25 years ago. But it was extremely expensive, and for a small city state like Singapore, there is no need. There is just no need. Now, in Singapore, I was able to pick up, let's say, AM stations from Philippines, from Indonesia, from Malaysia, as well as some other neighboring countries, especially at nighttime. So, you know, like I said, it's small, there's no need. And also, in Singapore, even finding an AM radio is extremely difficult. All cars now have FM radios. You can find some AM radios in, say, some of the tourist shops, but that's about it. The other thing now in Singapore that they're also using is DAB, which is digital audio broadcasting. So all the stations are also broadcasting on DAB at the same time. Now, in many countries, we've seen them, you know, DAB stations come on and they say, okay, on this date, you have to switch off FM. Singapore is handling it differently. They know that some people are not going to want to buy and spend the money to buy a DAB receiver. So they're keeping the two going and gradually phasing it out. When is that going to happen? It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen in the year after that. But it's probably starting around 2017, 2018, they will be phasing out FM gradually, not in one big swoop.
So they're very progressive as far as technology goes.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, radio in Singapore, your average listener, unlike, let's say, other radio markets, most people in Singapore, if you look at the ratings, listen in their car or listen in the morning when they get up, which is, you know, in Singapore, if you are driving, it's important that you listen to the radio because you need to find the traffic. And Singapore's streets can be very congested at times. When I was there and I was coming back from the BBC Far East Relay Station, a journey that should have taken 35 minutes took double that time because of the hour that I was traveling. And Tam Lan Sun, who works at the BBC, who was giving me a lift back, he was going from one traffic station to the next. And traffic reports in Singapore are even longer than, let's say, you'd have in Vancouver. I mean, in Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto, you only have a few arteries, main arteries. In Singapore, they go through practically all of them. So a traffic report takes a little longer, and then you think, oh, maybe it's changed in the last 3 minutes, so mm-hmm. you tune to another radio station to see what they're saying.
That is unique.
飞轮海， Shereen Moore, Elaine Elias here on the Midday Lush, taking us a time of 11:50. Now, coming up over the next few hours, we have got some cool fashion finds to share with you. First of all, the visor, something I would never think is cool, let alone fashionable, but there is a label out there that's going to change everyone's perception of the visor with their new release of a line of great accessories, and also how you can have a very nice customized gear for your next aquatic adventure. I'll tell you more about that here on the Midday Lush. But first, please do enjoy this one from Scooter and Eyes Without a Face.
Mendung. Dari nyampas 1.79, Pak Cik Dino kita ni. Selamat pagi, eh. Selamat pagi, Pak Cik. Pak Cik udah tersenyum ke belum? Kalau belum, tersenyum sikit lah. Biar handsome macam tu, eh. Macam Ziana Zin. Kok Ziana Zin? Tuk Ziana Zin cewek. Okay, katanya cuma mau tanya sikit aja, okay? Semalam saya ada dengar Anda kata jahat dia tapi baik dia. Apa saya emang jahat orangnya? Tak kena budi. Saya jahat ke? Oh, tak ada, tak ada. Mungkin Pak Cik salah dengar je. 987 Only
Now, you mentioned that there is a commercial aspect to Media Core, but it is still essentially owned by the state. So is there an issue with media censorship?
Media censorship in Singapore is very different. Now, you cannot compare it, let's say, to China. You cannot compare it to the former Soviet Union. You cannot compare it, let's say, to Vietnam or North Korea. It's very, very different. Now, MediaCorp does not have, let's say, censors that sit there and say, okay, all news scripts and everything that goes on air has to pass my way and I have to check it and then you can go on air with it. No, it doesn't work that way. People know where to draw the line. And what is extremely important is when I was there on one of the English news stations, I did hear criticism from the broadcaster who was on air against the government. But what is extremely important in Singapore is if you are going to, let's say, criticize government policy, you need to make sure that it is absolutely 100% all the dots, all the I's are dotted. There are absolutely no mistakes. Not one mistake in the story. And the reason is if there's one slight mistake, then you get in trouble. So when I was there, I was listening to a piece that was criticizing a social program of the Singapore government. I don't remember which one it was. And the editorial was very harsh. And when I met somebody from MediaCorp and asked him, I said, you know, I heard this piece on the air and everybody talks about media censorship in Singapore. He says, well, we have media censorship, but we know what line not to cross. Another area of radio in Singapore where you will find censorship is in content. Now, this is not unusual even in Canada or in Europe or in the United States, where let's say you have a song that comes out and there could be a word in the song that is considered bad, okay? And it shouldn't go on the air. In Singapore, it's a little different. I was listening to one of the Hindi radio stations, and they were playing a popular song from the UK that had a certain four-letter word in it. And the song went out. Now, that four-letter word was not a problem. If the song, let's say, had very high sexual content, that would be censored out. But the F word was okay.
That's interesting.
It is. So you know, this is how the censorship is. I mean, for example, BBC World Service broadcast on FM in Singapore. And they have never, in their history, on the air in Singapore, have ever had their transmitter turned off because of something critical that they said against the Singaporean government.
Now, with all the stations in Singapore and a population just around 5 million, how on earth do they make money?
How do they make money? That's a very interesting question. Well, when I met the people at MediaCorp, and I asked them that same question. And they said to me, well, we're kind of lucky, they said, because we could have, let's say, we have an ad rep, right? And he's selling advertising, let's say, on 13 radio stations. He's selling them on all radio stations. And it's just called being very aggressive. So if, let's say, they go to a business or they go to a company, okay, like, I'll give you an example. Mercedes-Benz in Singapore. Mercedes-Benz in Singapore have radio commercials as well as TV commercials. The radio commercials are in 8 languages.
Wow.
Running on all 13 radio stations. And you have different ad reps that are getting, you know, the advertising for these different radio stations. And there's a lot of competition. So you can have one guy that comes along and he says, look, we broadcast in Tamil and English. Can you come to us? This is the rate we'll give you. And we'll give you this spot, this spot, this spot. And you'll get this amount of time and this amount of time and this amount of time. And we'll have the announcer say, oh, by the way, I'm looking to buy a new car. I think I'm going to buy a Mercedes-Benz. So it's it's very competitive and it's very... it's very aggressive, more so than, let's say, in North America or in Europe. I mean, it's highly aggressive. I was told that at MediaCorp, sales reps' days are 6 days a week, sometimes 7. They begin at, say, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and they don't end until midnight.
Goodness, that would be against some labor laws in other parts of the world, that's for sure. So then how big is MediaCorp?
Well, MediaCorp is a huge corporation. Now, if you look at the corporation itself, it's huge because they have roughly around 2,000 employees, give or take a few here or there. But as I said earlier, underneath the MediaCorp umbrella are 11 subsidiaries. 11 subsidiaries. So that also includes the people that are working under those, you know, in those subsidiaries. And some of the subsidiaries also have subsidiaries.
That's big.
There's only like just over 5 million people. How the hell do they do it? but they do. But like I said, MediaCorp is in the business of making money. As I told somebody there, I said, you know, organizations like the CBC and some others can probably learn something on how to run a public radio service and television service by, you know, making it commercially viable. Because in Singapore, ratings are important. So in Singapore, if you're on the air and you have, let's say, a show that isn't doing well or a time slot that isn't doing well, it's canceled. Because what's the point of keeping it if it doesn't generate money?
Right. Well, makes sense. Thanks very much for this very fascinating insight into state or local radio, rather, in Singapore.
And by the way, you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, this week coming to you from the city-state of Singapore. It's a little bit windy right now. The wind has picked up in the last 30 minutes, so you know what the noise is. Now, at the beginning of the show, I told you we now have a weekly 30-minute edition of the show that airs on the World Radio Network. And we have a new contributor to the program, and his name is Dan Helmsley of Shortwave America. And he's joining us on the show to give us a weekly propagation report, not just on the weekly version, but also the one-hour monthly edition. Dan, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Keith, for the dates of August 27th through September 2nd, this is the weekly radio propagation report. The 10.7-centimeter flux on August 27th is predicted for 115 with an A index of 10 and a KP index of 3. On August 28th, predicted for 10.7-centimeter flux is 110, A index of 8, and a KP index of 3. August 29th, 10.7-centimeter flux predicted for 110, A index of 5, a KP index of 2. On August 30th, we have a 10.7-centimeter flux predicted of 110, 5, and 2. On August 31st, we have a 10.7-centimeter flux predicted for 110, A index of 5, KP index of 2. On September 1st, we have a 10.7-centimeter flux predicted for 105, A index of 5, KP index of 2. On September 2nd, we have a 10.7-centimeter flux predicted of 105, A index of 5, KP index of 2. The smooth sunspot numbers for August 2011, the predicted 45.1, the high was 66.3 and the low 52.3. The August smooth 10.7-centimeter flux predicted was 114.1, the high 119.1, and the low of 109.1. As of these ETC dates, the propagation has improved with the exception of August 27th with a higher A index of 10 and August 28th with an A index of 8. These two dates have also had high KP indexes of 3 or more, meaning that propagation can be expected to provide a challenge to those depending on it. August 29th to September 2nd brings us very nice propagation conditions, consistent with the sun being more active, despite lower smooth sunspot numbers. The sun has been a bit slow during the solar cycle. The overall minimum and maximum usable frequency ranges will be within the medium or better conditions, given the overall 7-day forecast.
Well, thank you very much, Dan Helmsley. Well, it's now time to announce the next two winners of the PCJ Summer Shortwave Contest, and they are Dan Jones and Mark Schlemmer. Well, guys, pretty soon you'll be contacted by either Paulette or myself so we can get your contact details. Now, I should let you know that we still have another month before the contest ends. That's right, because September is an important month. We're going to be giving away two of those DR920 receivers, including a grand prize. A grand prize that you certainly don't want to miss. And that is a brand new ATS909X from SanGen. And the email address to send your entries to is very simple, ats909x@gmail.com. That's ats909x@gmail.com. And don't forget to answer the question, what does radio mean to you? Anyway, it's time for me to leave you from Singapore. And the reason is, I still have a couple of hours to do some shopping, and that's exactly what I intend on doing. Also, I think with the wind, there seems to be a little bit of rain that's going to start very soon. Once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. That's www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. If you wish to contact us with your comments, suggestions, or to get one of our new QSL cards, our email address is MNP, which stands, of course, for Media Network Plus, MNP@pcjmedia.com. That's MNP@pcjmedia.com. And, of course, let us know if you heard this on the internet, shortwave, or satellite. So, on behalf of Paulette McCrory, who's all the way back in Vancouver, Canada, I'm Keith Perron, hoping that you join us again very soon for another edition of Media Network Plus, either being the 30-minute edition or the monthly 55-minute edition. So until next time, friends, so long, take care, and best 73s to you all.
मेरे सपनों की रानी कब आएगी तू आए रुत मस्तानी कब आएगी तू बीती जाए जिंदगानी कब आएगी तू चलिया तू चलिया मेरे सपनों की रानी कब आएगी तू आए रुत मस्तानी कब आएगी तू बीती जाए जिंदगानी कब आएगी तू चलिया हाथ चलिया प्यार की गलियां बाहों की कलियां सब रंग रलियां पूछ रही हैं प्यार की गलियां बाहों की कलियां सब रंग रलियां पूछ रही हैं गीत पनघट पे किस दिन गाएगी तू मेरे सपनों की रानी कब आएगी तू आ
आई रुतु मस्तानी कब आएगी तू बीती जाए जिंदगानी कब आएगी तू चलिया तू चलिया